For a brief and bloody time, Derek Bogard was among the most feared players in the National Hockey League. He spent nearly all of his 6 years in the NHL with the Minnesota Wild. He died of an accidental drug overdose in 2011 at the age of 28, which raised questions about the continuing role of enforcers in pro hockey. John Branch tells his story in Boy on Ice, The Life and Death of Derek Bogard. John, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
John, we spoke a few years ago when you wrote about Derek Bogard for the New York Times. He was a big guy, stood almost 7 feet tall on skates. Sometimes he weighed as much as 300 pounds. How early in his hockey career was he identified as what NHL teams call an enforcer?
You know what? He was about 14 or 15, and he was playing youth hockey, was a decent player. Nobody ever expected he would amount to much. And it wasn't until he very unexpectedly went ballistic on the ice one night in a small arena in Saskatchewan. And there happened to be scouts there. He just started pushing kids around. They were getting beat badly and started just taking swings at kids and scattered the opposing team and their coaches, like spooked cats almost. But it turns out the scouts were very excited about what they had seen. And that was when he kind of got put onto that conveyor belt toward where he became an NHL enforcer.
Bogard was beloved in Minnesota for 5 seasons. His jersey was an enormous seller. The team gave out bobblehead dolls of him, and they were the only bobblehead dolls that had bobbling fists as well as bobbling heads. But they traded him in 2010. Why?
You know, his contract is up. He had been through substance abuse rehabilitation the year before, which was kept a secret, so a lot of people did not know that. And he was beaten up. He had missed a lot of action because of injuries. And he was going to earn a lot of money, and the Wild said, you know, we don't need to pay this guy this much money.
The substance abuse is a particularly strong element in the book. Bogard was constantly injured. He was constantly in pain. And you write that over one period of 33 days in 2008, Bogard, quote, received at least 195 hydrocodone pills from 6 NHL doctors, 5 of them affiliated with the Wild. Is it fair to conclude that the team and the league were complicit in Bogard's addictions?
You know, I would say you can draw your own conclusions. I think the family certainly believes that. Derek discovered that if he went to one doctor and had some procedure done and they prescribed him pills, if he had another procedure done, he could then get prescription pills from the next surgical procedure. And it became pretty obvious to him pretty quickly that the doctors were not speaking to one another.
You also write about a phenomenon that you call the circular culture of concussion denial in pro hockey in general, and particularly in the NHL. Explain what you mean by that term and what it had to do with Derek Bogard.
You know, Derek, if you were to ask the medical reports, he had about 3 concussions during his NHL career. If you were to ask his family, they would probably look at it and say there's probably 10 or 12. Nobody ever really defined what a concussion means to Derek until very late in his career, when he went to a doctor and the doctor explained, you know, a concussion is really when you get hit in the head and you black out for just a moment, even just a split second, and sort of, you know, shake your head a little bit and say, whoa, what just happened? And Derek laughed at that and said, wow, well, if that's the case, then I've probably had hundreds. And he was responsible for that, too. There were a lot of reasons why he would deny it. The teams then went ahead and denied it, too. They would never make it official that this is why a player is out, is for a concussion.
An autopsy of Derek Bogard's brain indicated that he had chronic traumatic encephalopathy, although he was only 28 years old when he died. In the months before his death, Derek Bogard was displaying the symptoms of that condition. What were those symptoms, and why was nobody around him paying attention to that?
You know, nobody had linked those symptoms to CTE at that time. They saw Derek as depressed, and so people looked at him as lonely. They didn't really connect it to the drugs and to certainly the concussions, unfortunately, until pretty late. We'll hopefully see that change as we see that CTE can be diagnosed before somebody dies. But at that time, and still today, it can't be diagnosed until somebody dies. And so we don't know why somebody's acting the way they're acting until, unfortunately, they're gone.
Just under a month ago, a former minor league hockey player named Jordan Hart and a physician's assistant named Oscar Johnson were indicted in connection with Derek Bogard's death. Are their trials likely to lead to any change in the culture in which Bogard was involved?
That's a great question. I don't know if it will change. I think part of what all professional sports needs to do is make sure that they are really keeping tabs of what these players are doing and what their lives are like away from the ice. We see this now all the time with things like domestic violence issues. Players need help. They need around-the-clock help because there are a lot of issues that they face that maybe you and I wouldn't face.
You note that 3 years after Derek Bogard's death of a drug overdose, the team doctors who prescribed the drugs to which Bogard became addicted are still employed by the Wild. Is the culture that eventually led to his death still operating within the NHL?
I think there were some wake-up calls. There were two other enforcers that committed suicide. Derek did not commit suicide. His was an accidental overdose. And so that sort of woke people up. There are some things that have changed in terms of who distributes pills. It used to be the case where trainers can hand out a lot of the pills. Derek's family especially will argue that the reason Derek got addicted to these drugs was because of the ease with which he got them from team doctors. The 8 or 9 of them from the Minnesota Wild and 8 or 9 of them from the New York Rangers are all still employed by those teams.
John Branch is the author of Boy on Ice, The Life and Death of Derek Bogard. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me, Bill.